You're listening to Studio 22. Welcome to Studio 22. I'm here with my co-host, Will Meldman. My name is Brock O'Hearn. Yeah, there we go. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, man.
This is great. The thing I love about this is our first time doing audio only, and we got this new
Rode. Yeah, dude, we got a switchboard, so
we might get a little weird over here. I'm just going to let you know now. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not controlling it, but the man with the magic fingers on the other side of the table is. How do you like this thing?
I think it's safe to say I really enjoy this.
That was me. I got a little play in there. This is awesome. Yeah, we've been laughing for like 30 minutes, and I wish we recorded the last 30 minutes just because this thing is sweet. This is
this is pretty cool. See what I'm saying? You didn't see that coming.
But it's really, really funny.
That's how I usually sound.
Just when I wake up in the morning, before I have my coffee, before I cough that frog out of my throat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit, that's loud. Excuse me. No, it was fine. It was me being loud.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about today.
Yeah.
We will start off by saying USA Soccer won 1-0. We beat Iran. I think it was a big victory. We advanced to the group stage. Really excited about that one. And congrats to all the people on the team. But there was something that stood out to us at the press conference. And kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit because I think it's important, especially in times like these when, you know, the world can seem divided a lot of the time, but it's moments like this that kind of inspire me and hopefully others to really kind of focus on the positive and focus on what's being done to improve our current situation versus harping on the past and holding grudges and, just an overall positive mindset.
Yeah. And with that lead in, What happened?
Basically, so at the press conference, a reporter asked our team captain, Tyler Adams, basically about what it's like to play for Team USA with all these negative things going on in our country surrounding, the treatment of African Americans and, social justice issues. And his response was really inspiring because he said, look, every country has their problems, right? And I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm close. And every country has their problems, but I tend to focus on progress and the progress we make. And he basically stood up for our country and said, I'd rather focus on the progress we make every day than, sit up here and, badmouth my country. And I think he was kind of baited into it by the reporter, but he didn't fall into the trap. And it was pretty patriotic and cool.
Yeah, it started off with the reporter telling him that he was mispronouncing their country's name, and which is a common mistake, I think, especially here in America.
He called it Iran, and he said Iran. It's Iran.
Iran, yeah, exactly. And it's good that he got that out there, educational, right? But the guy already came off a little bit, which rightly so, I think he should, get the name of the country right and stand up for his own country right. Exactly. If someone was saying that about United States and they called it, United States or something, we should probably step in and say that's not what it is, right? So I definitely respect that. But it was the way he asked that question or he stated that and then he led into the next question, this reporter, that it definitely seemed like he was trying to get a rise out of him. Out of Adams, and his response was just completely empathetic and well said, and he was non-reactive, I would say, or at least in a negative light. He was very positive and gave perspective, about his past and his life and how he's has, you know, both he's from African-American descent, but he also has, you know, white brothers and sisters, a white mother. So it was really cool the way that he, you know, handled that situation. And it was very dignified and respectable for sure.
100%. And, you know, focusing on the positive and dividing times, I think is really important to how we move forward and how we heal ultimately as a nation and as human beings. So, you know, big shout out to Tyler Adams. Really appreciated that response. And especially like Brock was saying, on that world stage where everyone's watching, you know, it's very important to stay positive.
Yeah, biggest sport in the world, all the eyeballs on you. That could have been, you know, it's going viral for all the right reasons, I would say, but it could have gone the other way very quickly, you know. And at this point in, you know, history, I think that people should come together more than ever, and we should figure out and realize that we can stand together and support each other and lift each other up and make progress, just like he was saying, versus the latter. You know, it doesn't have to be negative all the time. It can be, you know, a positive force. And I'm a big fan of, you know, his response and people like him that have a voice or have a platform and use it properly, you know?
100%.
Yeah. And then, so soccer. Yeah. And congrats to the win, guys. That was awesome. U.S.
One more.
Yes.
Congrats, USA.
That's for you, boys. Yeah. That's a live studio audience. We pay those guys a lot. Yeah, also, I mean, we've got some great news, some big news. This weekend, we are going to be, where are we going to be, Will?
Comic-Con LA.
Yeah, buddy. Comic-Con LA 2022. December 2nd, 3rd, and 4th?
Yes, sir.
I like to hear it.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be my first Comic-Con. Yeah, I think the coolest thing about that is we're not only going as fans of all, you know, so much of what's going on at Comic-Con. We are going in there with work, with our work, with our comic. We're going to Comic-Con with a comic. How nuts is that?
It's really exciting, man. Honestly, cool. Like, you know, a lot of people, Comic-Con is really, you know, I've attended WonderCon in Anaheim and San Diego Comic-Con, and a lot of the crowd shows up for like, okay, what trailers are Marvel going to release for their upcoming projects, for their films and TV shows, and you know, what action figures companies are going to be there, and you know, tons of different stuff, which makes it great. I love the diversity of industries, and there is a lot to do there, and it's really intriguing and fun. But you know, comic is in the name, and that's how all these intellectual properties start. Typically is through the comics and in the books. And that's what I love about it, is we're showing up with our comics. We're going to have thousands of copies available for purchase. We're going to have, you know, tons of fun stuff too. Hoodies, merchandise, you know, some free giveaway bookmarks and magnets. And
yeah, Will really went to town this week, or the past couple of weeks, I should say, on merch. Yeah, buddy. yeah, the merch is great. Bookmarks, stickers, comic books, flyers. There's posters. There's all kinds of cool stuff. And we're just going to go. We're going to have a great time. We're excited to meet as many people as we can. And if anybody's out there listening now, if you're able to make it, please come and enjoy the time with us. And if you're already going to be there, we look forward to seeing you there. But yeah, it's pretty surreal. It's pretty sweet. You know, we've got this incredible story. This incredible comic that we've been creating and making, and we're excited to share it with the world. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Comic-Con is certainly one of the biggest stages in the world for comics, and you know, we've been taking this very seriously, and we're very excited for it. We're also going to have posters that Brock is going to sign of him and Kane. We're going to have limited amount of those, of the signed ones. So that'll be kind of like a first come, first serve. They're not available on our website. And then some other posters as well. And we'll have, you know, previews of issue 3. We actually have posters with the cover of issue 3. And, you know, we'll have some kind of preview books of a big announcement coming this weekend at Comic-Con. We will share on our social media what the announcement is, but we're going to be doing it at Comic-Con as well for future projects in the Kane comic universe.
Yeah, it's a ever-expanding universe, and we've got a lot to share. I think this is going to be, you know, we just got our order in not too long ago of issue 2, and it is amazing. It is such a beautiful comic, so well done, and it really gives a lot of backstory into Kane's, you know, backstory, and it's visually stunning as well. And so we're excited to share that and bring that to the world. And then some of the other things that we're bringing exclusively to Comic-Con, like Will was saying, that we're excited to launch and share. And the universe is expanding and it's growing. And this is this is a fun time. It's an exciting time.
Shout out to Joe Bennett, who did the cover for issue 2, and Denai Ribeiro, who did the colors for it.
What is your, staying on the comic line, what's your favorite thing about creating a comic?
Oh man, good question. I mean, obviously I love writing, and I love, you know, bringing the characters to life and putting them in dangerous situations and seeing how they can get out of it in creative ways. I really enjoy writing action. For example, issue 3 begins with a 10-page action scene with Kane and McKenna. So that's a spoiler, but get ready for tons of action in issue 3, because, you know, we're turning up the heat. We got 4 more issues left after issue 2. And I would say writing action and like intertwining all the narratives from other volumes into, you know, Kane's first volume. But also seeing the art as it comes in, because Brock and I, so just so you guys know, you know, our amazing artists, Patrick Blaine, and Fritz Cassis for another one.
Joe Bennett with the issue 2 cover.
Joe Bennett with the issue 2. Like, when we get new art, I basically run over to Brock, or I send it to him, and we look at it together, and you know, give notes together. And it's really fun getting to see your story come to life every week. You know, even if it's 1 or 2 pages, you inch by inch, you get to see the story come to life. And unlike film, you know, which takes years, this kind of comes back in a matter of weeks. So I'd say those two things. Sorry for the long answer.
No, it's good. I mean, that's what we're doing. We're on a podcast. We're talking. That's the whole point. No, I still remember the first time we got the first pages, and you're at your dad's house. And I believe I was here at the house. And, dude, it was surreal getting these first pages, this you know, original first comic that you had just finished writing not too long before. You spent endless hours finding, you know, artists and you know, everything that goes into making. There's so many pieces that go into making a graphic novel, a comic book, and telling this story and creating it from scratch, and so many people that need to be involved in it too. And so when you finally got to the point where we had art to match the dialogue, you know, art to match the story, even when it wasn't colored, it was like, this is it. This is it. Holy crap. You know, and I remember how excited you were, how excited your brother was, your family, how excited I was. It was so cool. And it was like this moment that, you know, we're going to get to hold on to forever.
This beautiful moment.
That sounded like a fairy or whatever waving her wand.
Wind chimes.
Yeah.
That was, no, but yeah, 100%.
Was it like a fairy godmother?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, big announcements at Comic-Con. We're very excited. The universe is expanding, like we're saying, and we're having fun with it. We are having fun making a comic book, and I'm excited to see people's reactions at Comic-Con, especially people that have never heard of it before. You know, we're going to introduce this to a whole new audience, a bigger audience, you know, and take it to the 9. You know, we have a booth at Comic-Con. You ever think you're going to have a booth at Comic-Con?
No. Honestly, like, I really never considered, you know, kind of creating comics, which is stupid because I love them and it's a visual art medium, so it makes perfect sense. I just never really had the faith in myself to write, I guess. But, you know, once you and I had that initial meeting at Sugarfish after or before seeing No Way Home, and we kind of put the idea together, like, yeah, we're going to do this. You know, I wrote the first issue about 30 different times.
Yeah.
And I needed to find my technique. I needed to find my style, what worked for me, you know, and it's just rewrite. And yeah, man, I really never considered it ever. But I have like tremendous excitement to meet a bunch of new people. And, you know, our friends, Chris Gore and Anna, that Star Wars girl, are doing a panel. They're doing two panels, I believe, on Saturday. Mm. So I'm really excited to, you know, Anna, we had on Studio 22. We got to talk about Star Wars with her. It was incredible. And YouTube and how she created her giant YouTube channel and her career in fandom and content creation. So I'm excited to see what they talk about.
Yeah.
On Saturday, and you know, we'll get to meet new people, see friends, and it's gonna be a blast. I think it's gonna be cool watching fans come up to you as well, because you know, every time we're at a Stagecoach or you know, a big event, it's always fun to and like your fans are so sweet, man. They're always so nice and polite and happy to see you, and you return that in spades, and you know, I'm excited for that as well.
Yeah, man, I've always had this mentality with people, because I grew up with virtually nothing. I had very little, and being a dreamer, all that stuff seemed so attainable, you know, being in movies and TV and film, being in a comic book, you know, it's stuff that you dream about as a kid, or at least I did, and to see it come to fruition, and then to have an audience or fans or people out there that support that journey for me and are excited to see things I'm doing or I'm in. It's always mind blowing to me, you know, cause the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm just that kid that, you know, was trying to survive, trying to make it and trying to, you know, live a dream and trying to figure out what that was for me and what that path was and what was possible, you know? And then finally, you know, after trying the quote unquote normal route, which was, you know, go to college and, you know, find a career path and do all this stuff, I realized quickly that, you know, it wasn't that for me. It was soul crushing, you know, it was nothing exciting and I already had nothing. So then to add on a whole, you know, stack of stuff that I knew wasn't going to make me happy or career paths that it just, there was nothing that was enticing when I looked at this piece of paper that said, you know, this is why you go to college. This is what you can do. This is how much money you can make. You know, I was like, it's not about the money. It's not about the time, you know, and it's more about my time and what I do with my time is what I meant to say. And, now I was like, screw it. I'm going to go do what I love. And because of that, you get to see and do things like this. And this is to me, even though we're midway through a journey, you know, we've just begun this thing in less than a year's time behind us. And it's just the beginning, you know, and every time it's exciting and every time it's fun. And it's like, dude, I'm exactly where I'm at. But all that being said, I'm talking in circles, I feel like.
No, man, it was great
to have hear. To have fans, I'm always going to be grateful. I'm always going to think in my mind is like, if this person is going out of their way or even cares enough to care about me or what I'm doing or the comic or whatever it is, the only way I want to show up for them is with kindness and with gratitude. And it's like, I would want that from somebody. And I've been in so many positions where it's like, well, I came in as a fan or I came in, you know, hoping something and it was the exact opposite or I got treated poorly. And I'm like, I just don't ever want to do that to somebody. You know, life's hard enough. Why make it worse? And it's, you can't be, you know, Superman to everyone and you have bad days and everything. But at the end of the day, you know, being kind is one of the best things you can do. So if you have the opportunity, take it. And
100%. Well said, dude. Like, I completely agree. Like, being a PA on these big, stressful projects where, you know, you're filming basically a feature film every 2 weeks, you know, with hour long episodes on, you know, Showtime shows and stuff like that. You see people under stress all the time, like every day. And it's the people that, you know, if let's say you're late to something or you forget to grab something, you know, you make like a small mistake. It's the people that re-encourage you, and instead of breaking you down, right, instead of yelling at you, and you look at them and you're like, that makes your day. It can make your week. Mm-hmm. And because you do 100,000 tasks every day as a PA, right? You're just running around doing stuff, and you can't, like you said, you can't be Superman on all of them.
Yep.
So you're bound to make a mistake at some point. Even the best do. We're all human. And it's the people that don't, you know, really break you down in those moments that you remember.
Yeah.
Because those are the people where you're like, and I, similar situation, I'm like, when I'm a producer on set, I'm never going to treat a PA like that.
Yeah.
Like, and I obviously hope I never do, but
I've been on those sets where, you know, there's the one bad egg, sometimes more than one, but there's the one bad egg, and it, I've seen and heard people react to that in a light that is, I don't ever want to work on a movie again. I don't ever want to, you know, do this ever again. This guy treated me so bad, or this person was this way, you know, or whatever it is, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I'm like, damn, that sucks, because this is the best job in the world. This is the best, most fun thing, most exciting thing. You know, it's, and it's not for everybody. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, for me, it's exciting. I never know who I'm going to be tomorrow. I mean, I'm going to be myself. I don't know who I'm going to play. You know, I don't know what story I'm going to tell and how I'm going to entertain somebody or do something new. I'm going to learn a new skill set for this thing. Like, I'm learning how to wrestle right now for, you know, for the role I'm playing. I never thought I would be, yeah, I never thought I'd be wrestling in my life, you know, and, you know, of course I've entertained the idea, thinking about the WWE and stuff like that. It's such an incredible franchise, is that the right word? No.
Yeah.
Company, you know.
Organization,
yeah. I think is a better word, yeah. And it's so awesome to see it, but it's like, I get to do that. I get to get a little taste of what that's like without even going down that path full-fledged, right? And so I get to live it a little bit. And then, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll be a doctor in the next role. Maybe I'll be a cowboy in another one. You know, I get to be a biker in this next one I'm doing next week. You know, it's like,
hell yeah.
I get to have fun, man. And I'd only wish that, you know, if it's not what you thought it was the first time around, find a new group, find a new, you know, storyteller, and jump on board with their ship and see if, you know, maybe this was the one, maybe this is a different one that reignites that passion and that incredible, you know, light and freedom to tell stories on this incredible platform. It's just, I don't know. I it's second to none, man. And I wouldn't trade it for anything.
100%. You're out, you know, when you're out there doing what you love, it's tough to beat that. And that's what Comic-Con is going to be, man. Like, we're both fans of a lot of things that'll be there too. And we'll be enjoying franchises that we like and get to talk to the creators and people in it. And while also working super hard at our booth and talking to new people. And it's going to be fun, man. And
yeah,
it's fun too. Like, it's a lot of fun.
Exactly. You know, it's we're building something that we believe in, something that we're passionate about, in you found new passion through this. I've seen it firsthand. I've been with you, man. We've had the conversations. You took the leap of faith in writing and grew tremendously quick because of your ability to deep dive so incredibly well.
Thank you.
Well, it's an impressive skill set, dude, because a lot of people will not put in the work that you're able and capable to do in the time that you're able to do it as well. It's because you hyper-focus. And because of that, you're able to download information very quickly, but also get a lot of work done quickly. And you know, I hear stories all the time from writers, and I've tried writing myself. I love writing. But what you see is, you know, sometimes it's a 6-month script or a year script, or it took this person 10 years to write this script. And it's like, well, Will Meldman can write that thing in 3 days. What you talking about? You know? But you see it and to pay homage to what you've already created with this comic book, it's like, there's a schedule, there's timing that takes to go from, you know, the original conception on a piece of paper to, you know, getting it in art form, penciled out, to colored, to, you know, lettered and everything else in between. Then you got shipping, manufacturing, and you've got, you know, a customer service. There's a million things to do, right? But you're able to recognize the things that need to get done and do them in a timely fashion so that you're not 3 years out, you're 1 year out for everything, or 1 month out, you know, whatever it may be. It's just an incredible, I don't know if I tell you enough, man, but my hat's off to that. It's an incredible skill set, dude.
Dude, thank you. I didn't expect that. So thank you very much for saying that. And
go Will, yeah.
That was me. I finally got to hit the button.
Yeah. dude, it's easy to do something if you love it. And I appreciate the deep dive comment because I really have just, you know, put my nose to the ground and focused on, you know, getting these scripts out. And we have so much Kane to bring to the world. Like, we have two comics available on our website with a third almost done, and out of a 6-issue volume we're working on issue 4. We have two spinoffs that are currently in production, and we're going to announce this weekend. We have another Indiegogo campaign coming up for issue 2. I mean, there is so much content that I've written that we can't even get to because, you know, top of the line art takes a long time, as it should. Our artists are incredible, and they're a part of the team too. Yep. Patrick Blaine on pencils, Denai Ribeiro on colors, Andy Owens on the ink, you know, Zen on the lettering, Desi Cienti on the lettering. You know, we're Joe Bennett on the cover. Well, I really want to work with Joe Bennett more on anything, and he's a legend. But it's a big team. There's a lot of moving pieces, and bottom line is, if you love something, you'll give it everything you got. And I can't even tell you how many nights I've spent up until 6 a.m., you know, writing another issue or creating another character and expanding the world. And there is so much more Kane to bring. Yeah. And this is just a tiny first step. Like, just to give you guys perspective, there's over 30 issues written. And one of the issues is 90 pages. So, you know, it's going to be crazy long. It's like a giant conclusion issue. It's fantastic. I love it. It's a big war. It's crazy. But yeah, man, we can start getting the word out this weekend. Yep. People are going to love to see you. And I'm really excited to meet new people and just talk comics, talk movies with people, like talk about stuff we're fans of, you know? Yeah. That's what I love to do.
And that's one thing that's so fun and so cool about this comic in general is, you know, it, while being its own unique IP and its own story, and it's created out of nothing, you know, right? It's this incredible concept. It also pays homage in so many ways to, you know, some of our favorite time of storytelling, which is like 90s action, you know, and it deep dives just an art medium that I think that was when we enjoyed going to the film and the height, almost to a degree, the height of, you know, movies and going to the theater. And it's exciting because, like, you're able to tell whatever story you want to tell, right? And you're able to create whatever you want to create. But the fact that this is what's being created, and you can look at issue 1, you can look at issue 2, and issue 2 truly does expand the universe so much more in such a fast and well done and beautifully paced way. But it gets even better towards the end of this volume as, you know, these comics are being created. Issue 3 is an incredible story between McKenna and Kane, and what's coming in there is so much fun, so much action.
Tons of action.
Exactly. And we're never going to be short of action when it comes to Kane. And so in this first volume, you get a little brief into this guy's world and who he is and why he is where he is. And he's discovering himself truly along the path. But then you realize, wait a second, what about all that stuff that goes back to ancient Greece, you know? And what about, you know, times in Rome, or ancient England or whatever it may. What about all this stuff that we lightly grazed over, I should say. Oh no, we get to that all in good time. And this universe, you realize, is not just this one small, isolated, small city that you have a story that's going on within there. You know, it's not that. It's global. It's got an entire universe built out, and who knows how far we're going to take that. We don't even know how far we're going to take that. But what we do know is it ain't small, and it's a damn good story, and it's a really good time. So just going to keep it growing, keep it going, and hopefully you guys enjoy it. But, you know, it's something really special here, and it's exciting and fun to do.
Man, super fired up after hearing that. And 100%, like, we revealed on our live stream today that, you know, some issues will take place in South America. And then, like Brock said, you know, future issues all over the world in the last 3,000 years. So literally the world is our playground.
Yeah.
And
there's so much history out there too, right? And that's one thing that's really cool about Cain is he finds himself or the different iterations of Cain through his lineage at different points in time, right? And there's he had to have been born from something, right? So he's got family that also has history, and this dates back thousands of years, right? So I'm just saying, you know, it's pretty exciting times out there in the universe of Cain.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That thing's so fun. Well, let's put some voices on, dude. Let me read the back of this Cain issue one with a give me something.
Okay. Let's start with Werewolf.
Cain is living his normal life, hunting for his food and working his small town's mine. When a new mine owner comes into the picture, he must quickly adapt to survive.
Or he will lose everything he has.
Cain will discover more about his own strengths and his family's mysterious past.
As his world is infiltrated by evil forces.
That's so sick.
This little thing is pretty sweet. The comic, yeah, but I meant the Roadcaster, dude. It's pretty sick. Give me one voice. What's your favorite voice on there?
Cain. Okay. I'm going to read the back of Cain issue 2. Cain is visited by a mysterious stranger. He follows him, hoping to learn more about
his family's past. Will it be a trap? Or will Cain uncover some of the answers he is desperately seeking?
It like makes you want to do more of an accent. Yeah, buddy. Honestly, we should do a live recording of this sometime with those voices, and we just read the comic, you know?
Oh, we could have different effects for different characters.
Maybe we could get Morgan Freeman's voice in there, and then we when we talk, it sounds like Morgan.
You could be Cain. And then we have, you know, Montclair, the werewolf could be the monster.
That'd be sick to have the different voices.
Yeah.
My grandma used to love listening to books on tape, and I think she probably still does. But I would listen to them in the car rides with her in these long drives, and they would, as they're reading, when they get to different voices, they do the different, you know, iterations of whatever that character is.
And I love that.
And I love it too. Some of my favorite books on tape that are like really long fantasy novels, they do that, and you're like, oh, dude, there's that, you know, dwarf I was hoping to listen to, or, you know, here's this other character that it really puts you in it. And so if someone could do that well, it's really fun. But this is kind of like cheating if we have this. You just pick a random voice and go to town.
Absolutely, man. Storytelling with the fam on road trips, nothing better than that. I was actually speaking with the writer of Your Highness when I was out there in Ireland. And he was telling me, I'm like, how'd you get into writing? And he goes, well, you know, on road trips with my family, we'd tell stories and we'd improvise and we'd go around and each add our own part of the story. Wow. And it really, you know, forced me to understand like structure and characters and voices.
Wow.
And I was like, damn, that's awesome. Like,
so cool.
Just like you said. And you know, that is human history. Before written history, we had folklore.
Yep.
Like verbal communication passed down from generations to generations. And like,
that's how story is passed on, right?
100%. And yeah. Then we had the written word and, you know, more and more. But
I can only imagine doing that with, one, people you're comfortable around, your own family, right? And you're in this beautiful, safe space, and they're probably obviously creative as well. So it could be a lot of fun to see what people come up with. But we do that improv classes, you know, sitting in a,
exactly,
a, everyone will be in a circle and they'll start a story or something like that. And it's, I've been in some where they get pretty dark, dude. But yeah, but you're allowed to take it wherever you want until you, you know, get past the torch or whatever it is to continue the story on. So that's a great method to, you know, have a creative outlet. I think that's awesome.
And like you said, it's a safe place, and like you kind of turn your brain off and let your subconscious take over and let it go where it goes. And you know, you don't want to rag on someone for being vulnerable and telling something.
I'm so happy we did this podcast because I'm stealing that when I have kids one day.
The story thing,
road trip, story time. Let's go.
Hell yeah.
Because then
maybe we'll do one live with a guest.
We should. Maybe we should do one about Kane, and then maybe we have a whole issue.
That'd be awesome. Volume
come out of it.
That'd be cool, dude. We should definitely do that.
Kane travels interdimensionally to another universe.
And on that planet, he discovers the room of...
I don't know where I'm going with that.
That was good.
Actually sounded pretty cool.
Well, hell yeah, man. It's... Kane is awesome. I love it. Yeah. I love building out the universe and sharing it, but there's so much more to come.
Oh, that sounded like a voice. Wow.
Comic-Con's going to be awesome.
Comic-Con LA 2022, December 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Be there or be a loser. Just kidding.
Well, hell yeah, man. Shout out again to Tyler Adams and, you know, standing up for the U.S. When being baited in that interview.
Yep, and shout out to Will Meldman for creating a Kane comic universe, baby.
Well, as Shay Mooney told us in Nashville, compliment cast.
Full effect. I like that. I thought you were going to say always go to the party. And I'm like, hey, you're right. And the party's at Comic-Con this weekend.
Right. Shay Mooney did tell us to party. I
That's
remember right. that.
That's how he met Dan. Yep. Dan and Shay. That's kind of a pretty dang cool way to meet someone that, you know, you guys are now some of the biggest artists in the world.
Pretty cool.
You. Welcome to Studio 22.
And on that note, we're going to sign off, ladies and gentlemen. That's the sign-out
sound. Dude, this thing's full of tricks, man. I love it. Oh, what? I might have to sit and listen to this for a little while.
Hey, we had a good time with you, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it cool. Keep it classy.
Catch you on the flip side.
Thanks for tuning in to Studio 22.